Well, good morning, Naknaz, and I hope that you're blessed this morning. I hope that this morning that you find yourself in the presence of Jesus. I wanted to continue with these thoughts of togetherness, continue talking about community and the importance of community and unity and us being together. And I love these talks. These talks are fun to study. I think that we could spend a whole year, maybe 2 years, talking about togetherness, talking about unity, talking about how God wants us to live in community with each other. And I started off last week telling you about my strength coach, John Mitchell. He always talked about togetherness. That's one thing that he would yell at us, that he would try to implement in our minds and burn into our brains is this idea of togetherness, one team and one vision, one heart. And I told you that he's an intense guy, that he's real passionate. And I learned a lot from John Mitchell. But at first, I didn't like him. At first, when he came in, I didn't really like him at all. He came in and he was changing up our workouts. He was coming in and having us do things that we've never done before, hitting groups of muscles that man would just wear you out and tear you down. And there was some workouts that I just wanted to quit. Some workouts that like I didn't want to do it anymore. My body was spent. And I was tired and I was worn out and I was exhausted. There was division in my body. Can I go further? You know, can I go deeper? Your body is literally wanting to shut down, but your mind is saying that you can go a little further. Your mind is saying you can go a little deeper. There was a disconnect between the head and the body. There was a disconnect, a division between the head and the body. I want to talk about togetherness and continue this on, but I also want to implement division this morning. I want to talk about division. A lot of things in our lives, you know, we have to train our mind. Like a lot of things in our lives, we have to learn discipline. We have to learn to train our minds. We have to learn to persevere. We have to learn to go deeper or to go further. When we feel like we can't, we have to know that God is calling us deeper and further and to do more. He's also telling us at times to be still and rest and get into my presence. But he's also saying, man, you can go further and you can do more. Talking with a retired pastor this past week, and an extremely smart man, a man that's full of wisdom, a man that will just speak life into you. He said something to me. He said something to me, and he had no idea that we were talking about togetherness, talking about unity, and he had no idea that we were going to be talking about division. And he told me, he said, people will often want to argue with you. And when they can't argue with you, what they do is they'll turn around and they'll try to argue with God. And I love that thought. It made me wonder this week, and it made me really pray and search this week how many church bodies are in disagreement with the head, with Jesus Christ. And as we know, Jesus is saying for us to move forward. Jesus is saying for us I've got you. I've got your back. Move forward. Move my gospel forward. Move my gospel to the ends of the earth. But what did Jesus say about division? What did Jesus say about division? He said in Matthew 12:25, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Will not stand. Jesus is saying wherever there's division, there's going to be destruction. Wherever there's division in your life or in your mind or in your home or in your church or in your business or in your place of work, there's going to be destruction. Division doesn't come from a heavenly place. Division is going to come from the enemy. Church, I believe that God is telling us right now in the midst of this pandemic to unite. I think that he's telling us to come together. I think that he's telling us to come in agreement with Jesus, to fight for one another, to fight for one another in prayer, to move his gospel forward, to move his gospel deeper, to persevere, to really dig in. Even during this pandemic, he doesn't want us to throw our hands up and just give up. He's saying, I want you to go a little deeper. I've called you for a time just as this. You're here for a reason, and you're here for a purpose, and it's for a time just as this. I created you for a time just as this. I wonder where God is during some of these times, and you have to know that he's making himself close to you, that he's making himself close to you. One body, one spirit, in one mind, he's making himself close to you. He's calling us to come together in prayer, church. He's calling us to come together as a family, because it says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I don't want to live in disagreement with anybody. I don't want there to be disagreement in our church. I don't want there to be disagreement in your relationships or disagreement with you and God. I want there to be unity. We're going to change directions this morning. We're going to change directions today. And I want us to look backwards. Last week we looked at Acts and we really dove into the early church and how the early church operated and how the early church was planted and formed. But I want us to go back. I want us to look in the Old Testament today, but I want us to get a New Testament perspective. I want us to open up to Genesis, but also to get a New Testament perspective. I want us to look at something known as the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, all right? These guys were going to build a tower. They were going to build something. They were going to build this city, but they were doing it for themselves. They were doing it to make their name great. And it says in Genesis 11, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now the whole world had one language and common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves.'" Father, Lord, this morning we pray, God, that as this message is going out, God, that you are touching hearts and that you are reaching hearts this morning. As families are sitting together and drinking coffee and eating breakfast, God, we pray right now, God, that you are reaching down, that your hand is coming down from heaven and meeting us right where we are. We love you this morning and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. One of the things these people did here is they built out of arrogance. One of the very first things that they did, they built out of arrogance. A spirit of arrogance will never sustain the church. A spirit of arrogance will never sustain a relationship. A spirit of arrogance will never sustain a marriage. Notice what they said. What was their intention? To build a tower so high, to build a city so vast, and make a name for themselves. To make a name, to build their name, for everybody to look and say, "Hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at this tower that I'm building." They wanted to make a name for themselves. I want to encourage you today. A God dream is never going to be about making our names great. A God vision is never going to be about making our name great, but his name great. A God dream is never going to be about us. It's always going to be about Jesus. It's always going to be about glorifying God. It's always going to be about blessing other people. As we come together and as we build his church, as we build his church, we do it together as one body. We do it together with one spirit, and that's his spirit, his Holy Spirit. It will always be about making Jesus's name great. It'll never be about us. It will never last if it's being done out of arrogance. If you're trying to build something right now, it'll never be out of arrogance. God is alive, church. God is active. God is moving in our midst, and he's looking for people that'll say, "It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about my name. It's not even really about NACNAS. It's all about Jesus." It's all about making his name great and taking his name to the ends of the earth. We want to build a movement, church. We want to build a movement that keeps going and going and going until Jesus returns. We want to have a movement that will never stop until Jesus comes back. But it's never going to be about us. It's always going to be about him. And I want to tell you, God doesn't mind that we have great ideas. God doesn't mind that we have ideas and that he's giving us ideas, but can it be ideas to serve other people? Can it be ideas to help build his church in his name? Can it be ideas for us to help the marginalized or the oppressed? He wants us to have these ideas and do it in his name, not our name, to build his church, not our church. It's all about Jesus. These people building this city, it wasn't to make God's name great. It was only out of arrogance. But I want you to look back at Genesis 11 with me, starting in verse 4. We're gonna continue on. It says, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heaven so that we can make a name for ourselves.' And then it says, 'Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" The second thing that they were doing, they were being disobedient. They at first they were arrogant, and now they're being disobedient. But for us to see how they were being disobedient, we have to go back to Genesis 9. We have to go back to Genesis 9 with Noah and the ark. God is upset at humanity in Genesis 9. All the wickedness in the world, all the sinfulness in the world. And so God floods the entire earth. He sends a flood and he floods the entire earth, but he tells Noah, "I want you to build an ark." He tells Noah, "I want you to build an ark, and I want you and your family to board this boat. I want you to take animals two by two, and I want you to board this ark. I want you to get on this boat." I had an opportunity to go to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, and I went with some friends, and it was a great experience. The ark is huge. The ark is beautiful. But why are we looking back in Genesis 9? Why are we going from Genesis 11 to Genesis? Why is this important? Because I want you to see that Noah had radical faith. Noah had real faith. Noah had obedience. Because nobody from this time, you have to understand, had even seen rain before. Nobody from this time, there hasn't been rain. And God says, "I want you to build a big boat, Noah. I want you to build a boat because a flood is coming. I want you to build this ark because it's fixing to rain." Some of us are cool with doing things for God for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks or a 6 week period, but Noah started to build this ark at the age of 500. 500 years old, he started to build this ark, and he boarded this ark a little over the age of 600. For over 100 years, 100-year gap, he persevered. For 100-year gap, he never stopped. He continued to build. Noah perseveres. He puts mind over matter. He has faith in who God is. Noah is obedient to God. It doesn't matter that people were coming up to Noah and saying, "Man, that's dumb. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you building a boat? Noah, that's stupid. Why are you building a boat?" Our job, church, as Christians, as Christ followers, is to be obedient. That's it. Our job is to be obedient. We obey. Why? Because we believe God will open up the floodgates. We believe that God will bring a blessing. God will do what he says he will do. The Bible says that it started to rain and it started to pour and it started to rain and it started to pour and the ark floats. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, Noah is floating around. For 40 days and 40 nights, his life and his family's life is spared because of his faith. After 40 days and 40 nights, a rainbow forms. After 40 days and 40 nights, there's a rainbow that forms over the earth. And that's God's covenant saying that he will never flood the earth again. He doesn't say that it's not going to rain, though. He doesn't say that there won't be pain. He said that he will never flood the earth again. Why am I saying all this to you? Because in Genesis 9:1, it says God's covenant with Noah. "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" God told Noah to fill the earth, to multiply, to scatter all over the world. I want you to take this all. I want you to take your family all over the world. I want you to fill the earth. And then two chapters later, we see that these people are trying to build a tower. We see that these people are trying to build a city, build a tower that's going to reach the heavens to make their name great. And why? So that they will not be scattered. Direct disobedience to God. They had direct disobedience to God. And we see this over and over and over again in the Old Testament. People repent, God punishes. People repent, God, over and over and over again. Why? Because we always needed a Savior. We always needed Jesus. We always needed love, and we always needed the grace of Jesus. I want you to see this morning that the Tower of Babel is anti-church. It's causing division, and it's causing destruction, division between people and God. There was a disconnect between the head and the body. The opposite of why we come together, the opposite of unity, the opposite of togetherness, the opposite of why we unite. They came together out of arrogance, and they came together out of disobedience. They were saying, let's build a tower that will reach the heavens. Let's build this tower, and let's build this city so people will see us. Let's do this thing so people will recognize us. Man, like, let's make our names great. Not God's name, but let's make our names great. That's the opposite of church. That's anti-church. When we gather church, it's to make one name great. When we gather, it's to glorify one name, the name of Jesus, because all that he did for us. When I preach, it's not to encourage you in your own strength, but it's to encourage you in the strength of Jesus. It's to encourage you in his Holy Spirit. It's not in your own strength, but it's his strength, the grace of Jesus. When we come together and when we walk in obedience, God blesses it. When we come together and we walk in obedience, God is there. The Tower of Babel was anti-church. If we build something that's anti-God, if we build something that's anti-church or anti-people that he created, God is against it. God's not going to bless it. Let's pick up in verse 5. It says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people were building." Now, I like this part in scripture because these dudes, they were building a tower to the heavens. These dudes were building a tower so big so it could reach the sky. But it said God came down. Obviously, it wasn't big enough. Obviously, it wasn't tall enough. These guys are saying, I'm going to make a tower so big. I'm going to make a tower so great. I'm going to build it to the heavens. I want you to see my tower. This is a pretty good tower, right? Like, this is big. This tower is vast, but God still has to come down. God still has to leave heaven in order just to see this tower. Sometimes, church, I think that we need to be humbled. I think sometimes that God humbles us for a reason. The Bible says if we humble ourselves before the Lord, he will lift us up. At Babel, they were trying to lift themselves up. At Babel, they were trying to make themselves great and lift themselves up. But if we humble ourselves, God will lift us up. If we humble ourselves in his presence, God will lift us up. I want to ask you, have you ever been humbled before? Has there ever been something in your life that has humbled you? Several years ago, Jess wanted to do a 10K. And I was thinking, you know, whatever. You know, it's running, right? I work out and I lift weights and so I can run, right? Like, no problem. I mean, it's running. At the beginning, you start to run and you don't stop running until you get to the end. Until you get to the finish line, I mean, it's running. It's whatever. Race day comes and you know, I'm flexing in the mirror and I got this. And the race starts and, you know, like several steps in, I wanted to cry to my mama because this was ridiculous. I have a truck. Why am I running? I was humbled. I was humbled by that experience. I want to tell you, pride comes before the fall. Pride comes before the fall. Whatever you're building, make sure God's in it. Whatever you're doing, make sure God's in it. Do it together with God. Make sure that there's togetherness. Build that business with God. Have that relationship with God. Do that marriage with God. There has to be togetherness. In verse 6, it says, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Nothing that they do will be impossible for them. I want you to watch this, church. When we come together and when we get into unity, when we get together on the same vision, when we come together on the same project, God says when you come together, nothing is impossible to you. The impossible starts to become possible because you're coming together. Togetherness is the key. Unity is the key. God saw them doing this together. And instead of smiting them, and instead of coming down on them, he said, whatever they do will be impossible to them. From Genesis to Revelations, we see how God is trying to bring people together. God's trying to bring people, even Adam and Eve. God creates Adam, but then he says, I need to create a wife for him. I need to have a suitable helper for Adam. God cares about togetherness. Adam falls into a deep sleep, and he comes to Adam, and he takes a rib from Adam's side. But we have to see something here. He doesn't go to Adam's foot and take a bone out of Adam's foot, because women are not below men. He doesn't come to Adam's head and take a bone from his skull, because women are not above men. He comes to his rib because men and women are meant to walk together. There's meant to be unity. There's supposed to be togetherness. Your marriage will go further together. Your relationship will go further together. Your friendship will go further together. I was reading in Ecclesiastes, and I love Solomon. Solomon, probably the wisest man that ever walked this earth. And in Ecclesiastes 4, he says, two are better than one, because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how will they keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can then defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Do you see what he's saying about three strands? Two people coming together and running towards Jesus, making that third string. Two people coming together with their sole pursuit as Jesus Christ. Run towards Jesus in your marriages together in unity. Run towards Jesus with one mission, one vision, and one spirit, church. The Tower of Babel was anti-church, but God shows up and he says, if they come together, impossible things will become possible. He comes down and he says, impossible things will become possible to them. I believe that if you want to safeguard your home, get into unity. I believe that if you want to safeguard your business, it's unity. I believe that if you want to safeguard your marriage, it's going to be unity. If you want to safeguard your kids, it's going to be unity. It's going to be coming together as one. I believe that if you want to safeguard this church, it's coming together in unity, because the attack is not always going to come from the outside. Sometimes the attack is going to come from the inside. It's going to come from a disagreement. It's going to come from division, and then it's going to lead to destruction if we let it. But we need to fight for one another. We need to fight for one another in prayer. Watch what God does in verse 7. He says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. We see God's plan in Genesis 9. God wanted them to scatter and he wanted them to be fruitful. He wanted them to go all over the earth and be fruitful. Genesis 11, they wanted to build a tower so they would not scatter. They wanted to build a tower so that they could be together. I want to tell you, church, God's plan will always prevail. We can make plans, but God's plan will prevail. He wanted them to scatter and go all over the earth and create more togetherness and have more unity and go all over the earth and have more togetherness and more unity. What we have to ask ourselves, though, are we delaying the plan of God? Are we executing the plan of God? Are you delaying the plan of God in your life, or are you executing the plan of God in your life? What I like most about this and what I want you to see is the text said that God came down. God left heaven and God came down. Of all the ways that he could have done this, he came down to be close with his people. I love this about God. I love our God. I'm so in love with our God, because have you ever thought about, you know, what you would do if you were God? Like in a situation like this, these dudes were building a tower and they were doing it so that they were being disobedient to God. Like, have you ever thought about if you were God, what you would do? Like, would you shoot lightning from your fingertips and destroy the tower? Our God comes down to be close and to be personal with his people. I want to tell you a truth this morning, church. Together we stand, but divided we fall. If we can come together, we can stand, but if we're divided, we're going to end up falling. The attack of the enemy is not always going to come from the outside. The attack of the enemy sometimes comes from the inside. That's why it's important that we're guarding our conversations and that we're guarding our tongue and that we're guarding our minds. Together we stand, but divided we fall. We asked last week for standing power. We asked last week that we could stand in the power of Jesus. To do that, though, we have to safeguard our hearts. In order to do that, we have to safeguard our minds. A corrupted heart is always going to have something ugly to say. A heart that's corrupted is always going to have something hateful to say, to bring somebody else down. In Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart when you feel offended. Guard your heart when you feel overlooked. Guard your heart when you feel betrayed. Guard your heart when you feel like you have a reason to complain. Guard your heart when you feel like somebody's accusing you. If you can't guard your heart, church, you're not going to be able to control your tongue. You're not going to be able to control your words. Together we stand, and divided we fall. This is all about togetherness. Church, let's stand together. Church, let's be one together. Let's fight for each other with one mission and one vision and one spirit. Let's do this thing together, church. I want to tell you that I love you and that I'm praying for each of you, and I miss you, and my family is for you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask right now, God, that you will come in into our hearts and into our homes. God, that we're putting up safeguards around us. We're putting you up in our lives, God. And we know that you will protect us. We know that your plan will continue, God, and we want to be a people that will execute your plan. We want to be a people that will execute what you're calling us to do, to be an obedient people, not to be a people that will walk in disobedience, but a people that will walk in obedience together. God, we know that there are situations all over our county and all over our church and some maybe even in our homes that these situations seem impossible, but we know with you, God, that everything is possible. Father, we love you this morning and we thank you. God, we know that we need to be a church that will stand together, because if we can't stand together, divided, we will fall. We love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.